Now we're moving on to the next question, which is how we can use apologetics effectively. What I would like to do here is give you a very rigid formula on how to do this. It's this. Three steps. Ask what, affirm something that they said, and then ask why. This is rigid. This is formulaic. This makes my skin crawl because it's so, whatever. But here's the thing. Learn the rules before you learn how to break the rules. Many people, when they get into a conversation and they're trying to think about how to maneuver, they get locked up, they freeze, they don't know what to say. What I want to give to you here tonight is a way to be composed, to be able to think on your feet, and to really have the pressure off as you speak. I'm indebted to the book Tactics by Greg Kokel for much of this material. So if you want to go further, you can read that book, or he's got a series of lectures online that talk about this very thing. Let's start with that first approach. Ask what? What we're trying to do at first when we're talking to someone about their beliefs is trying to figure out what it is that they believe. Many challenges to the Christian faith are confusing, yes? They're complex, yes? Often, the person himself is confused with what he is even saying. And our goal here is trying to suss out and understand what it is that they're saying. We're trying to not misrepresent their views. We're trying to not misinterpret what they're saying. We're not trying to caricature the other person. You know what a caricature is? Artists, when you go to Cedar Point, they draw a caricature of you with a really big head and a small body and, you know, like a dune buggy or something. They're making an exaggerated picture of you. And what we don't want to do is make people feel like their view is caricatured and stupid. We're trying to figure out what it is they believe. The reason that this is important is because it aids in communication and actually relating to the other person, because we don't talk past each other. How many, I won't ask for a show of hands, how many married couples have been in an argument for an hour only to realize that we weren't even talking about the same things? The same thing is true with regard to sharing our faith. So we want to ask what? Here are different mutations of that question. What do you mean when you say that? Now, I'm going to do as best as I can to use the tone that I would use in an actual conversation. Typically, I'm one of the teachers at our central teaching, so I raise my voice, I come off aggressive at times, but in a conversation, I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going to be gentle, I'm going to show restraint, so I'm going to do my best to have the tone that I would use in an actual conversation. So, I wouldn't say, what do you mean by that? Don't put any stank on it, all right? Just say, so hey, what do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean by that? How would you define that term? I've heard people use that term like in different ways. Like, how would you define that? I just want to be on the same page. Man, you said that, and I'm having a hard time really understanding, but I want to. Like, can you help me understand what you meant by blank? Or could you explain more what you meant when you said blank? Now, how difficult is this? All you're doing is asking the person, what are you saying? Very simple. And so what we're going to do here is do a little exercise. And what you are not going to do is argue against these different statements that are in your notes. You're not going to do that. Agreed? Everyone nod at me, so I know you're not going to just completely check out and disregard everything I just said. Let's follow this method and see what you think. If you don't like the method, email Greg Kokel, okay? But if you do like it, I will really appreciate the encouragement. You're not trying to argue. You're not trying to dismantle. You're not trying to show, oh, that's not true. What you're trying to do is just simply ask, what? To gain clarity. Then restate what you hear. So you're saying blank. So, Christianity is so intolerant. Think of a what question. I think God will accept people if they are sincere about their faith. God will forgive me if I'm a good person. Evolution is a fact. So I'm going to give you 4 minutes, basically 1 minute for each of those propositions, and just come up with what. What question would you ask to gain clarity with each one of those? Ready? All right. So, raise your hand. Christianity is so intolerant. What's a what question that you would ask? Yeah.
When you say intolerant, what kind of things are you thinking of?
Very good. When you say intolerant, what kind of things are you thinking of when you use that word? I've heard people use the word intolerant in different ways. Tell me more. Good. I think God will accept people if they are sincere about their faith. Yeah. Good. All right. So what does it mean that God will accept you? There's one word I would really harp on here. Sincere. What do you mean by sincere? Like, I'm not trying to be daft here. You know, I'm not trying to be dense. Like, I know what the word sincere means, but I'm just trying to see, like, how are you using that word and how does that relate to faith? All right. God will forgive me if I'm a good person.
What does it mean to be a good person?
Yeah. What does it mean to you to be a good person? If I could steal a line, how good is good enough? Evolution is a fact. Yeah.
What led you to that
conclusion? No. We're exploring. Very good. I like that. Evolution. So when you say evolution. Now, again, I'm not trying to be dense. You know what I mean? Like I took biology, I took anthropology, but evolution can mean different things to different people. You know, from the goo to the zoo to you, as one person put it. Like, do you believe it's like the whole process from, you know, abiogenesis to human beings and consciousness? Evolution just means change over time. So everyone agrees with that. But like, where do you stand on that? Good. Now we want to move on to our second approach. Affirm something that you heard. Now this is something that is missing in the tactics book, but I think is really important. You ask what? You're not challenging anything that they said. You're just trying to understand. And then second, you're going to affirm something in what they said. We get this from the Bible, Acts 17:16. Paul, a Jewish Pharisee. He's in Athens. This is idol central. This is repugnant. This is abhorrent to Paul. He's by himself. This is the only recorded time in the book of Acts where Paul is by himself. He's walking through idol central, and his spirit was being provoked. Paroxuno, a paroxysm. If you're in the medical field, you know what that is, a paroxysm. You know, shaking. Somebody goes into a paroxysm. His spirit was paroxymos within him, stirred, shaking, as he was observing this city full of idols. So no kidding. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, every idol has a demon behind it. And he's looking out at this mass swath of people, and he's saying, these people are worshiping demons. They're ruining people's lives. These idols aren't real. This is false. Yet, when he shows up and he speaks to the best and the brightest, the intelligentsia in Athens, at Mars Hill, no less, they give him the microphone, so to speak. And how does he begin? Does he begin in the modern fundamentalist way? You know these idols are awful, don't you? You know, none of this is true, right? Paul, what does he do? He says, men of Athens, I observe that what? What's he observe? You're very religious. Do you think Paul had to sit there and pray for a little bit and just say, wow, God, what is it here? Idolatry, evil, wicked, prostitution. I mean, everything wrong is involved with Greco-Roman idolatry. And yet, he had the ability to say, you're religious. You believe in the spiritual realm. He says, while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I found this altar with this inscription to an unknown God. This is the God I've come here to speak to you about. Is it possible that when people share an opposing view to Christianity, that we're missing an opportunity to actually agree or affirm something that they said? Why is it that we have to go on the counterattack immediately? So going from what to why, I would rather make a little what-why sandwich and put affirmation and agreeing in the middle. And that's what we're going to do here. What is similar to the Christian worldview with what they're saying? What can I sincerely agree with? I don't like when people say, yeah, I believe in reincarnation. And the Christian says, cool. It's not cool. It's not true. It's false. Reincarnation is not real. Cool? No. What can I sincerely agree with? What is most important to discuss? Where am I going to land on? You know, we don't want to fight about every moral and ethical and theological issue here. Pounce on all that. It's not that important right now. We're just trying to focus on the main things. What's important to discuss and what's important to dismiss? Where I'm just going to be like, okay, yeah, they're talking about that, but that's just not that important at this point. Again, we're going to do an exercise. Again, do not critique or dismantle these claims. You apologist, you. Simply ask what. We're going to do the same thing, okay? What? What is it that they're saying? And you're going to ask a question. Then you're going to find something that you can, and this adverb is important, genuinely affirm. I'm not saying phony. Like, you could actually say, I do agree with that. Okay? So first, we're building. First, we did what? Now we're doing what? Affirm. Ready? I don't believe God sends people to hell. Premarital sex isn't wrong. All religions are different paths to God. I'm so glad that God put, insert your nemesis president, into the White House. I heard your church is hypocritical. I visited a psychic and he changed my life. We can't know if the New Testament is historical. So come up with a what question and then come up with something that you can genuinely affirm in what they said. Take 4 minutes. You guys ready? Too bad. Let's go. I don't believe God sends people to hell. What's your what question? You got to raise your hand. What's your what question? Yeah, back there. Okay. Good. Anyone want to build on that?
What is hell?
Yeah. What's your conception of hell? That's what I was thinking. Do you think it's pitchforks and, you know, fire and torture? Good. What's something you can affirm? I think you were onto this. What's something you can affirm about this? Yeah.
I think God wants to send people to hell.
Good. I don't believe that God desires a single person to be separated from him. Ezekiel 18, 2 Timothy 3:9, 1 Timothy 2:4. Good. All right. Premarital sex isn't wrong. I really don't know what a what question is for this one. It's pretty clear. You got a what question? You think you got what it takes? All right. So you got wrong. Okay. How do you define right and wrong? One thing you could say, I'm really struggling for this one. Premarital. What's your view of marriage? That could start a whole good discussion right there. All right. How do you affirm something that they're saying? Yeah. That's pretty good. Like, so you do have a moral compass that you do believe some things are right, some things are wrong. It's just we might disagree on where that line is. Oh, I can see something even better to affirm, something very sexy we could affirm on this one. All right. Premarital and marital, that's nothing sexy about that. Okay, yeah. Sex is awesome. We're on the same page there. We're just saying when and where. All religions are different paths to God. What's your what question? Yes.
What religions have you studied?
Very good. What religions have you studied? Incidentally, if you study world religions for about 4 or 5 minutes, you'll discover they're not all the same. And that's a very incisive question. What religions have you looked into? Good. And what's a way you can affirm this? I know you're digging deep here, but what can you affirm? Yeah.
You said that I agree with the stories.
Good. I think there's similarities with different. I just said that maybe a month ago. Guy said, I think, you know, these are all the same. I said the same thing. I said, I think that there are similarities with Christianity and other religions, of course. But I'm saying the core differences are so extreme. That no, they can't all be the same. Yeah. But we're not arguing, we're affirming, sorry. I'm so glad that God put insert president into the White House. What can you genuinely affirm even though you disagree? Yeah. You believe that God is concerned about our world. Isn't that the whole book of Daniel, that he raises up leaders and, yeah? I mean, we did this in our men's group, and the one guy was just, I knew that he didn't vote for Trump, so I put down, I'm so glad that God put Donald Trump in the White House to make America great again. And I picked on him, you know, and he was just going, thinking about it. And he said, well, I agree that there's a God. You guys getting the method? You're asking, what do you believe? And then you're saying, I can agree with some of that. Your church is so hypocritical. How would you define hypocrisy? Like somebody doing something wrong, or something different? And then if they give the correct definition of hypocrites, hypocrisy, I would say, yeah, we do have a lot of hypocrites in our church. But we got room for one more, so you can you can join. With a smile on your face, of course, right? I visited a psychic. He changed my life. Again, the what question would be, tell me about psychic experiences. What does that mean to you? What do you think they're coming into contact with? You believe in the supernatural. I believe in the supernatural too. I can affirm that. We can't know if the New Testament is historical. You know a word I would really key in here? The. No, kidding. Sorry. No. We can't know. Knowledge, the word know, is so confused in our culture. The study of what's called epistemology, how we know things. People say, well, you can believe it, but you can't know it. Like, I believe it's raining outside, or I know it's raining outside. And we've dumbed down that word know to such a point that we don't even know what the word know means. So I would ask, when you say know, what do you mean by that? Like 100% certainty? 51% certainty? I'm really just trying to understand where you're at with that. Like, are you expecting like a full proof that this is true? All right. Number three, ask why. How did you come to that conclusion? How do you know that? That's my favorite question to ask. How do you know that? What led you to find that view persuasive? Do you find that probable or only possible? So for some of these, we were reading, all religions are different paths to God. How did you come to that conclusion? How do you know that? That all religions are equal paths to God? What led you to find that persuasive? Do you find that probable or only possible? Here's Greg Kokel. He says, at times, people seem to think that all they have to do is tell a really good story, and they've done their job. You might call this a bedtime story. They conjure up a tale meant to put your view or your arguments to rest. But this will not do. They might just as well have started with once upon a time. You see what he's saying? I believe that God is the best explanation for the origin of the universe. Well, I don't. Why not? I think that the universe existed in an unstable state, and then because of quantum physics, because of the negative and positive energy, it brought itself into being. Once upon a time, the universe was in a quantum flux, and giving another alternate explanation is not evidence. Well, I think that Jesus had a twin brother, and that's who they thought rose from the dead. How do you know that? Is there any evidence for that? If I was going to be really cheeky, I would say, am I supposed to take that on blind faith, what you just said? Discern arguments from assertions. See, most of the time, people make assertions thinking that they're arguments. Well, I think God is, you know, all ways to the top of the mountain, you know, that's an assertion. I think the universe just self-generated. That's an assertion. I think that Santa Claus is real. That's an assertion. You have to give arguments to defend your assertion. So have they given evidence for their view or just an alternate explanation? Just giving an alternate explanation is not evidence, does not defeat your view in the slightest. In the slightest. We want to ask, why should I hold your view? Now, you might say at this point, oh, we'll see. This isn't fair. You're challenging this person, you know, with what they believe and affirming, and you're asking why. This isn't fair. It is fair. You know why? Because I would love it if somebody did this to me. If somebody said, so what do you believe? Oh, well, let me explain. Oh, and why do you believe that? Oh, you got 3 hours? Where do I begin? I would love it if somebody asked me, why should I believe Jesus rose from the dead? Why should I believe that God is the best explanation for the origin of the universe or fine-tuning? Why should I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is special? I would love it if they asked me why. But most people just give you a bedtime story, and they've been giving this bedtime story to countless people, and people are like, deep. It's not deep. The universe self-generated. Oh, scientists will eventually figure out how it created itself. That's like trying to find out how I created my grandmother. That's like about the same amount of chance of figuring that out. You can't self-generate. You need to exist before you can create yourself, and that's the thing where it's under discussion. Okay, so anyways, I'm not being gentle like I would be with a person. All right, ask why. Again, I know I'm a broken record. Don't critique these claims. Ask what? Find something to genuinely affirm. And finally, think of a question to challenge why they believe this. Ready? Jesus was trained by Hindu mystics in the years that the Gospels don't record. Evolution developed consciousness. Jesus was copied from pagan myths. The Bible is sexist or racist. The Old Testament, a God of the Old Testament, is evil. The Bible has been translated so many times. I'm going to give you 2 minutes.
What?
All right. I know you're not even close to being done, but you could do this later. So I'll just give you mine. We'll skip the what, the affirmation, and we'll just jump right to the why. But do you see how we're building? First thing out of your mouth is, what do you mean by that? Second, I can agree with that part. And then third, why should I believe what you just said? Jesus was trained by Hindu mystics in the years that the Gospels don't record. I'm going to try and give the right tone here. It's difficult. So are there any sources or like historical documents that would support that he was trained in India? Why would people believe that he was trained in India? Evolution developed consciousness. Okay, so consciousness is the ability to have third-order thoughts. What was the evolutionary process by which this came about? What we're saying here is you can't just say that evolution caused it. You have to show the pathway that led to consciousness. So I'm really open to that. What is the pathway that goes from survival of the fittest and natural selection to creating thoughts, to have atoms collect in such a way that they can reflect upon themselves? The Bible is sexist. Oh, sorry, Jesus was copied from pagan myths. From my understanding, there aren't any primary sources that exist before the time of Jesus that support that. Do you know of any? The Bible is sexist or racist. Really, where does it have sexist or racist passages? Can you point me to those? Why? I mean, the Bible is stupid, you know. You can't just make claims like this. You have to show where the Bible makes sexist or misogynistic or patriarchal claims. The God of the Old Testament is evil. Could you give me an example? Or the Bible's been translated so many times. I mean, for each of these, I'm restraining myself because I could come in and say that's wrong for 5 reasons, right? But I'm just trying to draw them out. What do you mean by translated? I used to think the same thing. I used to think it was, you know, translated from Greek into Latin, into Old English, into Archaic English, into Elizabethan English, but really, you know, it's been translated from Greek into our current language. But here we're just saying, what makes you think that it was translated that many times, or where did you learn that? So, can you do this? You ask what, affirm something, and you ask why. You can do it.